Amen. Amen. Let's go to Psalm 107. There are a few scriptures I'd just like to read. I believe someone's going to come in because this isn't designed to be a sweat box. Psalm 107, verse 20. We'll probably share these few scriptures every time, at least I will. Let's read them together. I'm in the King James. He sent his word, and well, let's personalize it. He sent his word and healed me and delivered me from my destructions. Psalm 103, verses 2 to 4. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all my iniquities, who healeth all my diseases, who redeemeth my life from destruction, who crowneth me with loving kindness and tender mercies. Isaiah 53, verse 5. Is about my limit, so if I start moving past you, Ken, let me know. I have to move back to my left. Okay. But he was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was upon him, and with his stripes I am healed. Amen. Matthew 4. Verse 23, where it says, among the people, we'll just say among me. Right? Matthew 4, 23, still King James. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in the synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among me. Right? See, to me, it means something different. Yeah. Okay, we'll figure this one out as we go along. Luke 6, verse 17 to 19. Luke 6. And he came down with them and stood in the plain in the company of me. And in my company. And a great multitude of people out of Judea and Jerusalem and from the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him and to be healed of diseases. And although I was vexed with an unclean spirit, I was healed. Amen. Amen. And the whole multitude, and I along with the whole multitude, sought to touch him, for there went out of him virtue. And me and all of them were healed. Amen? Amen. I mean, we got to get creative with making this personal, all right? Acts 5. Verse 16. There came also a multitude out of the cities round of unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folk, and they which were vexed with unclean spirits, and we were healed, every one of us. Amen. And 1 Peter 2:24. Still a King James Version. Who his own self bare my sins in his own body on a tree, that I, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes I was healed. Period. I was healed. See, I don't just do that so you could practice reading, you know, read aloud. I'm doing that because it has to be clear to us that no matter what we're going through, Jesus said, God said, we're healed. God took, as far as he's concerned, our healing is a done deal. And he already provided everything that we needed and will ever need and that there was never an instance where Jesus ministered to someone and they were not healed. Not one. Not one. The only people that weren't healed in his presence were those who didn't believe he could do it. I mean, that was it. You know, the Bible talks about the time when the power was there to heal, but nobody in the house got healed. And let's think about that. You have a house full of people. Why would the power of God come to heal if there was no one in the house that needed healing? Obviously, there were people there, but they just didn't believe. So even though their deliverance was there, because they didn't believe it, they didn't take advantage of it. Fortunately, you know, some good friends brought this guy there on a stretcher. And there were so many people there, they could not get into the house. Couldn't get in. Undeterred, they climbed up, tore a hole in the roof, and lowered the man down. That still amazes me. I don't know if I'd be excited if a stretcher came down through the roof. Say, we just had this thing fixed. Now, everything that we read, all the scriptures that we read, they're absolutely true. I believe it. You believe it. We have to believe that. But with that, there's something that we need to understand. Because too many of us get bent out of shape when something happens. We get bent out of shape if we get a diagnosis that we don't agree with. And most of the diagnoses we don't agree with. Probably none of them, you know. Some of the prognoses, we're happy. You know, we'll believe the diagnosis, but you'll be okay. Okay, I can latch on to, I'll be okay. Well, what about the first part? But what we don't understand, I mean, how many of you believe that we're healed? Amen. How many believe that Jesus will always heal us? Amen. Well, there's something else about that we need to understand. See, 13 years ago, I was healed of prostate cancer. But in order to be healed of prostate cancer had to manifest in my body. we don't seem to make that connection. We will say, that's like we're saying, you know, I'm an overcomer. Then an obstacle comes and we go to pieces. I'm an overcomer. Well, go over. Just like you need an obstacle to be an overcomer, you need a test to have a testimony in order to experience healing. Something has to manifest in your body that God didn't put there that you can be healed of. And we need to understand that. But we put too much emphasis on what comes to attack us, and not what came to repel the attack or the attacker. But it's important that we understand it. I was sitting down thinking about that this afternoon. See, John 10:10 tells us that the thief comes. And the only reason he comes is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's the only reason. So as Pastor Clinton said once, when he comes, don't invite him in for coffee. He's not there to fellowship. He wants to kill. He wants to steal. He wants to destroy. The Passion Translation says he wants to slaughter. Slaughter. And the reason he wants to do that is because he wants to destroy the faith, your faith, and the faith of everyone around you. He wants to just wipe it out. Because then he wants you to do just what he was trying to get Job to do. Curse God and die. He doesn't want you to just die. See, if you wanted to just die, then he'd send something tragic where next thing you know, you don't even know it. You just, oh, I'm in heaven. No, he wants you in anguish. He wants you so tormented that you curse God and die. Because then he'll have company in hell. But that's why. He's after your faith. When you get attacked with something, it doesn't care about you. It wants your faith. Because if it can get your faith, you'll stop believing. If you stop believing, you'll turn away from Christ and run away from God. And you'll figure like he has a lot of people deceive. Well, I might as well have as much fun doing what I want, when I want, for as long as I want, because I'm not going to be here too much longer. Come on now. You 7-year-olds committing suicide? 7? Tell me that's not demonic. 7-year-old hasn't even gone through anything yet. But that will cause people to lose faith. I mean, it's been working for centuries. How can there be a God when you look at all the wars and all the things that are going on in this world? You look at all these little innocent children and people hungry and starving. Why would a loving God allow that to happen? Where do you think those thoughts came from? The adversary. So he can start you down a thinking trail to pull you off track. And for some, it's a blockade, so you'll never get on the right track. He's after your faith. And we need to understand that. That's probably one of the reasons, because you know me, I like to think about, I don't just read what's written, I like to think about why it was written. And that's probably one of the reasons God had Paul tell us Galatians 6:9. Let's go there. I'm going to read it in the Amplified Classic. But Galatians 6, verse 9. We usually read it during the ministry of giving, but we have to understand. You folks know how I feel about principles and fundamentals. Well, this falls under that category. Let us not lose heart and grow weary and faint in acting nobly and doing what's right. For when? In due season. My translation says, in due time and at the appointed season, we shall reap if we don't loosen and relax our courage and faint. That verse is telling me God's word is absolutely sure. What God told me to do is absolutely right and will absolutely work, but it's not necessarily immediately. But if I wait for it, I'll have it. That's what that tells me. And that should settle me when I get anxious. That should settle me. When I start wondering how long am I going to have to put up with this, that should settle me. If I've been meditating on that word, if I got the revelation of that passage, then time doesn't mean anything to me. Because I know that at the right time, I'm going to get what I'm waiting for. Because God said so, and that's what keeps me steady. I believe God. Period. Just like the Apostle Paul standing on the boat, on the ship, and it's getting ready, it's going into a storm, and they're getting ready to crash. He says, fear not. There stood by me an angel of God. And he told me, yes, there's going to be a crash. Nobody's losing their life. And he said, I believe God, and I believe it'll be exactly as he said. Well, he said, with the stripes of Jesus, we were healed. So since he said that, it doesn't matter what the diagnosis is. And it doesn't matter how long I have to wait. All that matters is I was healed. But I don't see it yet. I was healed. But when are you going to see it? In due season, I'll reap because I'm not giving up. I'm not backing away from it. I was healed. Period. I just thought of something. I don't recall us speaking to this measles outbreak up here. We're going to have to do something about that. Now, see, one of the things that I've heard believers say, they've said them, you know, coming through the line. They've said them when we've talked with them on the phone, in conversations. I hear things like, I'm just tired. I'm just tired. I didn't think, my sister said to me, it broke my heart. She said, I want to die. I'm like, Pam, why? I didn't know I'd have to fight this long. What difference does it make how long the fight is when you know you've won? I don't want to do this anymore. I can't take this anymore. Why do people say that? Well, they're focusing on the pain. They're focusing on the discomfort, the nausea, whatever comes along with it. And yes, it can be very uncomfortable. But how many of you know you can have joy and peace even though your flesh feels uncomfortable? You know, but you just have to know why you can, and you have to know how to get to that place. But that place does exist, and it's much closer than you think. I know you don't wear it. I'm going to tell you shortly. I'm going to tell you. See, I was wondering, why couldn't they hold on? You know, when they get to, there are people that have said, you know, don't tell me about that Jesus stuff. I don't want to hear any more of those fairy tales. Why would they say that? Their body is racked with cancer or some other disease that they were told was at end stage. And their faith went. Their faith failed. And they believe, well, if God's word is true, why did they say I'm at end stage? Well, let's back it up a little bit. God's word is true, but in order to be healed, there needs to be an infirmary. You can't be healed of nothing that's of something that's not there. How are you going to be healed of good health? You don't need healing unless there's something going on in your body that's not of God. Period. That's why they couldn't hold on. They weren't seeing it that way. They were just feeling the pain. They were just feeling the pinch. Now, naturally, or in the natural, there are soldiers. They're special forces soldiers who are trained to ignore pain in the natural. They're trained. Those Sylvester Stallone movies, you know, that you see, those things, even though it's a movie, those principles are true. This country has soldiers who are trained to endure pain, to disregard it, no matter what it is. Disregard it. Now, if they can do that naturally, why can't we do it when we're spirit beings? First of all, we don't know we can. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, you know. And usually it's because they've rejected knowledge. But in this case, most people just don't know because no one told them. You know, they've been too busy hearing things like, well, God's trying to teach you something. Well, if you really believe that, why are you telling the person what they can do to get better? Why not let them learn a lesson? That's like snatching someone out of school. You know, you don't want them to learn? You know. No, the scriptures are true. But fits there. Proverbs 17, verse 22. Gave me a clue, and it set me on a thinking path And you know, I read it in every scripture, in every reference and translation, and the Holy Ghost told me to share it in the complete Jewish, out of the complete Jewish Bible. So it says, a happy heart is good medicine. Say that. Say, a happy heart is good medicine. But low spirits sap one's strength. I started thinking about that, and this verse in particular. When it says sap your strength, it means it drains away all of your strength. It pulls all your strength away. And what does this say zaps your strength? Low spirits. Low spirit. Now, that doesn't mean demons that are crawling close to the floor. That's not what it's talking about, okay? It's talking about the condition of your spirit. Is it strong or is it weak? That's the question. If it's weak, you're not going to have any strength. If it's strong, you'll be full of strength. Proverbs 18:14 confirms that. I'm going to share it in the King James Version and in the Amplified Classic, because the classic adds a little twist that we want to focus on. Proverbs 18, verse 14. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity. That means a man's spirit will keep him when his flesh is going through stuff. But a wounded spirit, who can bear? If your spirit is wounded, if your spirit is not strong, you're not going to be able to withstand. You're not going to be able to deal. And you'll give up. Why? Because your spirit is weak. It's not strong. I know that from the Amplified Classics translation. It says, the strong spirit of a man sustains him in bodily pain or trouble. But a weak and broken spirit, who can raise up or bear? You can't bear anything if your spirit is not strong. And we have to understand that. I believe that's why all these, you know, these symptoms come with the, I mean, because they can, if you think about it, okay, you know, there's something going on in your body. It doesn't necessarily have to produce pain and agony, but it does. Why? It's demonic. And it wants to cause chaos. It wants to slaughter. It wants to discourage. You know, I did a little quick side journey. I think it's a quick one. When I was teaching chapel at LCA, I always listened to things and listened to people. And, you know, the Ebonics was big. And folks wouldn't say, you know, the folks would say the word, you dissed me. They wouldn't say disrespect. They'd say, you dissed me. You know, and they'd say, oh, and they laugh. Ah, he dissed you. And guys get to always fight for, well, he dissed me, Mr. Carr. Well, what'd he do? How does someone diss you? You know? And so I looked, I got an unabridged dictionary about that thing. And I looked up the word D-I-S. And it was in there. D-I-S, it's a word. Listen to this. It's a reference to an underworld god whose name was Dispatter. so when your respect bows to the god of an underworld, you become disrespectful. See? When your courage bows to the god of the underworld, you become discouraged. And that's what happens. See, you allow the circumstances, you allow the feelings of your flesh to cause you to bow down to a god of the underworld. And your courage, you know, it's not a correct word, but you become dishealed. You know, because your healing, your health, bows down to the god of the underworld. Why? You can't take it anymore. So you want to go home. And we sound spiritual. I want to go home and be with the Lord. It's not your time. How do you know? The fact that you want to give in to this sickness. I cringe when I would hear people say at funerals, they say to someone's children, well, God needed another teacher up in heaven. I'm sitting in my seat. No, he did not. You know, but I'd cause more confusion saying something, so I had to just leave it alone. When my mother went home to do it to the Lord, I told her pastor, don't you stand up there and tell these people God needed my mother in heaven. Don't you tell these people the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away, because that's not what God ever said. That's what Job said. The Bible clearly states that the devil was the one putting these things on Job. And he looked at me and I said, Reverend, if you say it, I'm getting up and correcting it. So he didn't say it, but I forgot the one that said, man born of a woman has a few days and full of sorrows. I forgot that one, so he got that one out. Okay. But it says here that the strong spirit of a man sustains him in bodily pain or trouble, but a weak and broken spirit, who can raise up? See, we become so concerned, so consumed with how our body feels physically. We get so wrapped up in the diagnosis. We get so wrapped up in the side effects of the medicine, we neglect our spirit. And we allow our spirits to grow weak. And as they grow weak, we become weary. Because there's nothing for us to pull on. When your spirit's weak, it's like you're at the end of the rope. And there's nothing left to hold on to. And the only thought is, well, I guess this is it. At least I'm saved. I guess God will explain it to me in a little bit when I see him. He'll let me know. And we just let go. We've had enough. No, we need to learn how to keep our spirits strong so that they can sustain us through it. If we want to experience physical health, we have to pay more attention to our spiritual health. We have to pay more attention to our spiritual health. We have to do things that will cause us to be healthy, to have healthy spirits, to have strong spirits, to have solid spirits, so that we can be sustained when things go wrong with our bodies or when things go wrong in our lives, because this doesn't apply to sickness. When troubles come, if your spirit's not strong, you're not going to get through it. Amen. And troubles are coming. Amen. To everybody. Amen. No matter how saved and holy and sanctified we think we are, what Jesus said is still true. Amen. In this world, you will have tribulations. Period. Jesus gave us one clue into how to keep strong spirits when he warned us about the thief coming. He said, I have come so that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Some translations say, and have it till it overflows. So we have the thief that's trying to snuff my life out, and we have Jesus who's here to give us life till it overflows. We can either strengthen what the enemy is bringing or what Jesus brought. we decide. We, you know, life, death, life, choose life. We decide. So it's what we're going to focus on. Or what's going to determine what we focus on? How strong is our spirit? Is our spirit strong enough to say, I don't care what the doctor says, I don't care what you're feeling, God's word is still true. You're still healed. The joy of the Lord is still your strength. You can choose to have joy no matter what's going on in your life. Why is that important? If you don't have joy, you can't have a merry heart. About a merry heart doeth good, like a medicine. So that's telling me I can take the medicine and have a broken heart and nothing will change. I can have a great heart and no medicine and things can be great. And I'm mindful of how I say it because I don't want you to say, Pastor Carr said, you know, just be happy and forget taking any medicine. Okay. That's not what I said. I said you could be happy and have joy even if you don't take medicine. Or you can take medicine and be unhappy and still have no benefit from it. We decide. It's our choice. In 3 John, verse 2, again, it's another one of those verses that is multidimensional, but we only seem to look at it in one dimension. I believe most of the Bible is multidimensional. It says, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. And we teach that scripture and we talk a lot about the soul. The New Testament for everyone, that's the NTE version, says, Beloved, I pray that all is going well with you. Listen to this. And that you are every bit as healthy physically as you are spiritually. Every bit as healthy physically as you are spiritually. The complete Jewish Bible. Dear friend, I'm praying that everything prosper with you and that you be in good health as I know you are prospering spiritually. That verse isn't just about the soulless realm. It's about the soulless realm being affected by your spirit. That's what it's talking about. If your spirit is growing and prospering, so will your soul, and so will your health. So will your thoughts and your thinking, so will your health. If your spirit is not, then your thinking won't be right. So that means you'll be thinking the wrong things, which will result in our saying the wrong things, which will result in our having what we say. Because when we say the wrong things, we're saying them in faith. We absolutely believe them. Why? Because that's what I'm experiencing. It's got to be true. My side, it's killing me. I don't know how much, Lord, why are you doing this to me? I'm like, you really believe the Lord's doing that to you? Yes. Well, he said no good thing. He said every good and perfect gift comes down from him. So if you believe he's doing it to you, do you tell me it's a good and perfect gift? I mean, and if you really believe that God is putting this thing on you and it's a good and perfect gift, why are you trying to get delivered from it? I mean, you see this path the devil is, he's trying to pull us onto. When we think about it rationally, we see how ridiculous it is. But when you're going through it, you know, it's when it feels that you have three people holding you down, another one with a sledgehammer or a 2x4 just bashing you in the head over and over and over and over. You know, if your spirit's not strong, it'll affect your thinking. Well, didn't read about it tonight. It just dropped in. But Stephen, Stephen was stoned. What was his crime? Being a Christian and acting like it. And so he was stoned to death. He was stoned. He was conscious of being hit with these stones. He didn't curse God. He didn't curse the people. He imitated his Savior. Don't lay this sin against them. I could see when he said, I can imagine Jesus sitting at the right hand, you know, and they're watching this. And Stephen says that. Jesus looked, whoa, did you hear what he said? I mean, just stood up. Come on, Stephen, come on in. You know, because in the midst of all of that, his spirit was speaking. His flesh was, because his flesh wanted them punished. But his spirit was speaking because his spirit was strong. How do you know that? Because if his spirit wasn't strong, he'd have said anything he could to get out of being stoned. Okay. Just like the three Hebrew boys. God, the king gave them an opportunity. They said, is it true? You not bowing down? Yeah, it's true. I'm going to give you one more chance. And then he stacked the deck. He heated the furnace 7 times hotter. Why? They were supposed to feel the heat and say, no, play the music. We'll bow. We'll bow, king. One, I know you said one more. We'll bow. Everybody, all of it, we're going to bow because we're not going to burn. No, but their spirits were strong. It was out of their spirits that came, our God will deliver us. And even if for some strange reason he doesn't, we're still not bowing down. That wasn't their flesh speaking. That was their spirit speaking. You don't speak like that unless your spirit is strong. And you can't get strong at that moment. It already had to be strong. That Pastor Clinton used to hammer this at us. Learn this stuff during peacetime. Because during war, you don't have time to learn it. The army doesn't throw a new weapon at you and then send you right out to battle. First, you go to class and learn about the weapon, how it was made, what it's supposed to do. Then when that's done, they give you the weapon and they take you out on the range and let you learn how to shoot it, just staying in one spot. Then when you do that well, then they take you out on maneuvers where you have to learn how to use the weapon during normal battle conditions. They have war games. Problem is, as believers, we don't want to participate in war games. And then so we go right from, we don't even want to finish basic training. We want to say, yes, Jesus, you're my Savior. Okay, let me go. Well, you go to church, get trained. That's too long. Pastor, it takes too long. The message is too long. I don't like the songs. You know, can't they have a kicking choir? You know, not give me any food after. All this, these reasons, and they leave. They have their salvation, and that's all they have. Their spirits haven't been energized. They're not strong in spirit. They don't have wisdom and revelation. But they have salvation. Well, salvation isn't enough. Amen. You can't go, look, devil I'm saved isn't going to make him leave. You have to know the authority that you have. Amen. And think those things, they come out of your spirit. But your spirit needs to be strong. Amen. So I thought this was a healing class. It is. Because if you have a weak spirit, you're not going to experience your healing. Because you won't be able to tolerate. You won't be able to withstand. You won't be able to endure. And all of that you need for your healing. I mean, that woman with the issue of blood had to have a strong spirit and didn't even know it, because she dealt with this thing for 12 years and spent all of her money and only got worse. Something had to sustain her. It certainly wasn't the devil said, well, I want to keep her alive until she encounters Jesus and gets healed. No. Her spirit had to be strong. Amen. The centurion's spirit had to be strong. Amen. He had to believe. Yeah. He wasn't even Jewish. Okay. But he was speaking things out of his spirit, not knowing it. We know it. Our spirits should soar. Because the higher your spirit soars, the better you start to feel. Yeah. Amen. I mean, I could walk out, and I have walked out, and my body was very uncomfortable with symptoms, whether it be a migraine or whatever it was. And it seems like I'd look at the time, you know, when I have to get up, leave my office to start walking back here, and the closer the time would come, the more uncomfortable I would feel. Once Deacon walked in and looked like, Pastor, are you okay? I said, sure. And he looked at me, oh, okay. I said, are you saying you want me to not be okay? He said, no. I said, you're going by what, an expression on my face? Well, yeah, why? You can't see what's going on inside me. Flesh may show what I'm feeling, but inside me is what's going to take place. I'm walking back, and we're going to have church. I mean, that's my assignment. And it's not my responsibility to get ready, to be ready for it. It's my Father's responsibility to make sure I complete the assignment. I just need to have a willing heart and a strong spirit. And I had both. So I came back, and you wouldn't have known it because I don't always say it. So no one would know. Well, usually my wife knows because she sees little subtle things. And she'll come and ask me. She said, "So you got through it, huh?" I said, "Why'd you say that?" She said, "I know you were going. You were going through something." But see, one of the reasons that we give in to our flesh, is there something that we forgot or we forget? And when I tell you the verse, everybody's going to remember. Ephesians 6, 12. See, we know it, but we don't always have the revelation of it. And knowing it is not enough. Ephesians 6, verse 12. Reads, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." So you're not just wrestling against a headache or a stomach ache or a pull muscle or whatever. You're not just wrestling against a diagnosis. You're wrestling against the one who sent the symptoms on you. Listen to how the Passion Translation describes it. Your hand-to-hand combat. Now, does everyone know what hand-to-hand combat is? Most modern-day armies do not fight with hand-to-hand combat. They can push a button in Florida and wipe out a nation somewhere over in another continent. So most folks, they don't fight hand-to-hand combat. But when you're all out of ammunition and the enemy's still coming at you, you have no choice. And this says your hand-to-hand combat. Hand-to-hand combat is up close and personal. It means your enemy is in your face. Period. You can feel his breath. That's how close he is. It says your hand-to-hand combat is not with human beings, but with the highest principalities and authorities operating in rebellion under the heavenly realm. The highest. For they are a powerful class of demon gods and evil spirits that hold this world, this dark world, in bondage. But, this is what came up in my spirit, but, with capital letters, even though they are a powerful class of demons, they're no match for our authority if our spirits are healthy. If our spirits are healthy. If our spirits are weak, then we're no match. But if our spirits are strong, our authority overrides their power. Authority will always override power. There can be a fleet of, I don't know cars and things. What's a powerful car? Okay. So it can be a fleet of Jaguars coming down the street. And it could be our own dad, Mr. O'Reilly, can walk out in the middle of the street in his police officer's uniform and stand in front of that onslaught of Jaguars and just go like this. And they have to stop because his authority as a police officer overrides the power that they have under the hoods of those cars. Period. It does not matter. It does not matter. But in order to do that, he has to know that he has that authority. And everything about him is based on the authority that was put on him by the county, the state, and backed up by the state and the nation will back it up. We need to understand that Jesus gave us, when Jesus says, I give you power over all the power, he was really saying, I give you authority over all the power of the enemy. The enemy is still powerful, just not over us. That's all. But if our spirits are not strong, we won't remember that. And if we don't remember it, we can't call on it. We'll think, yeah, we have some authority, but not against that. You know, maybe if it was one Volkswagen, maybe I could stop that. You know, on a good day, my top two. But all those Jaguars rooming down the road, I don't know about that. Well, that's what the enemy does. That's how he tries to put things. See, when your spirit's healthy, your faith is strong. We have to understand that. I was looking at this account. Is that right? Oh, 650. I thought it was 658. In Matthew 17, it's about the demon-possessed boy. And, you know, the disciples tried to cast the demon out and couldn't. In front of, mind you, it is in front of a lot of people. Okay. And so when Jesus came down to the mountain, the boy's father comes and falls on his knees and he begs. And the last thing the man said seemed to really get Jesus going. The man said, "For I brought him to your disciples, but they could do nothing for him." And I think Jesus was too through with them, meaning his disciples. Because verse 17, according to the Message Bible, that Jesus says, "What a generation," talking about his disciples, not the people. No sense of God. No focus to your lives. How many times do I have to go over these things? How much longer do I have to put up with this? Bring the boy here. And he ordered the afflicting demon out, and it was gone. From that moment on, the boy was well. When the disciples had Jesus off to themselves, they asked, "Why couldn't we throw it out?" Now, most translations say, that Jesus said, this one comes out except by prayer and fasting. Let me tell you, well, let me explain that to you. The Message Bible has Jesus responding, because you're not yet taking God seriously. The simple truth is that if you had a mere kernel of faith, a poppy seed, say, you would tell this mountain move and it would move, and there's nothing you wouldn't be able to tackle. Now, we're talking about having a healthy spirit, because a healthy spirit is a strong spirit. You know, in Proverbs says the strong spirit of a man will sustain his infirmities. Well, a weak spirit doesn't have a sense of God, because if it had a sense of God, guess what? It wouldn't be weak. All right. A weak spirit doesn't have focus. It's all over the place. It can't focus. It'll be God's words. Oh, yeah, but look at what this is saying. Well, yeah, but God, no, but look at what this is saying. It can't stay focused because it's weak. So we could conclude that disciples didn't have strong spirits. And the reason they didn't have strong spirits, they weren't feeding their spirits. They had spiritual malnutrition. So how do you know that? Because Jesus said this comes out by prayer and fasting. This comes out by putting other things aside and spending quality time communing with God. Obviously, they weren't doing that. Because had they been doing that, they would have been able to cast out the demon. But they weren't doing it, so they couldn't. And they asked Jesus why, so he told them. You know, said, you guys aren't taking God seriously. Because if you were taking God seriously, you would set aside all this nonsense and spend quality time fellowshipping with God, just like I do. Note that the Bible talks about Jesus pulling away and praying. Yeah. How many times does it say the disciples pulled away and prayed? See, they thought they could get by on Jesus' anointing. Too many times, folks, you will think, all I need is the pastor to come and lay hands on me. If your spirit is weak, we could cut off our hand and tape it to you, and nothing will change. Because you'll be waiting for the hand to do something that you should be doing. Because the hand can't believe. The hand is an instrument. That's all it is. It's attached to a believer. And when hands are laid on you, you have to believe that the power went from me through my arm, through my hand, into you, and it wasn't my power to begin with, but it was the power of God. And your spirit needs to say, I got it. Amen. I got it. But if your spirit is weak, it can't say that. It can't say that. If they had a sense of God, they would have had focus to their lives. And they would have been able to cast out the demon. So if we want to have strong spirits, we're going to have to spend quality time with God. Amen. We're going to have to just put stuff away. Yeah. And we're going to have to stop mouthing what we feel. Amen. And start mouthing what God says. Yes. Stop asking people how you feel. Because you put them in a position to say some things that may get them in trouble, or put them in a position to say something that you take offense to. How do I feel? It doesn't matter how I feel. Well, I'm not going to ask them again. I'm just trying to be nice. Ask them how they feel. No. No. I mean, why put people in that position? I learned when a loved one goes home, I stop going up to people and saying, how you feeling? How you holding up? Do you need anything? I'm not going to put them in a position where they have to verbalize to me what they're feeling. They could have been, what if they had started to feel good, and then I come and I bring it back to their attention, and they're reliving it now. And some people go up there, how you doing? I know it's hard, right? They say no, you're going to think something's wrong with them. If they say yes, now you've made something be wrong. Either way, something's wrong with them. So let's not put people in that position. Let's not put ourselves in that position. One last thing. Is this one? Well, it's got to be one last thing. Oh, which translation? We'll do 2 Corinthians 12. No, let's do Ephesians 3. I'll share the other with you next time I'm in front of you. Ephesians 3, verse 14. This is the Passion Translation. This was Paul's prayer. So I kneel humbly in awe before the Father of our Lord Jesus, the Messiah. The perfect father of every perfect father and child in heaven and on earth. And I pray that he would, listen to this. I pray that he would unveil within you, what's within you? In your spirit, the unlimited riches of his glory and favor until supernatural strength floods your innermost being. That means floods your spirit with his divine might and explosive power. Then, by constantly using your faith, the life of Christ will be released deep inside you. What's deep inside you? In your spirit. And the resting place of his love will become the very source and root of your life. Folks, we have to have strong, healthy spirits so that it can sustain us when infirmities come, because infirmities are going to come. You can't pray away to stop sickness from coming. The thief comes. But whether or not it gets to fulfill his intention or its intent is up to us. We determine what's going to happen when the thief comes. We determine. And what the source of our determination will be totally dependent on the strength of our spirit. Amen. So do what you do, what you need to do to have strong spirits so that when infirmity comes, your spirit will cry out instead of your flesh. Amen? Amen. 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 My honor.